Woods in Water, South Carolina. Hang on just a second. Trying to get set up here. There we go. got a guest in the house with us, a returning a friend of the show, Glenn Finley. How are you, Glenn?
Great. Good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you showed up, too.
Appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah, got a big event coming up here we're going to talk about, and we got a big bass fishing tournament going on right now.
That's right. The Classic's going on.
And we got a couple of friends in it.
Yep. Alton Jones and Casey Ashley.
Yeah. Now, Alton won on Lake Hartwell in 2008. Casey won last year, so we've got a couple of Classic champions in there.
That's right.
Looks like if you can trust Bass Track, and for those of you that don't know, Bass Track is if you're marshaling for the BASS during a tournament, they give you a little phone, and you just punch in how many pounds each fish is and all that. They got Alton in fifth place. Casey's down in eighth. Casey finished yesterday in eighth, and Alton was, what did he finish at last night?
Third.
Third.
Yep, so they in the hunt.
They in the hunt. Wish I was out there.
I wish I was fishing.
But anyway, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. We're going to be with you for the next hour. Going to hit a little bit of everything. We've got Glenn here. Glenn, if you don't know, is a tournament redfishing guy. He travels all over the Southeast fishing redfish tournaments, and a pretty good one at that. And actually got his wife joining us today. Thank you for coming in and sitting in with us. Glenn said don't put her microphone on, so is that correct? You don't want her microphone on?
She gets to talk enough.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But they've got a big event coming up here on the 12th. It's a Meet the Pros night down at Belton First Baptist Church. We're going to talk about that. Glenn Chapelier, who is, I guess, the default FLW chaplain that goes around to each of these tournaments. He actually fishes, but he does a Meet the Pros event. He does a Bible study. He's going to join us around 3:15 or so, and then at 3:45, Don Artman from Grady's Great Outdoors is going to join us. They've got, on March the 12th, they've got David Fritz coming in with Lou's Fishing. They're going to have a kind of an open house day, a pitching contest. So all leading up to the FLW tournament here on Lake Hartwell. So lots of fishing. Springtime's about fishing. Springtime's also about hiking. And I've got some good hiking segments lined up for after we kind of clear out through the 20th of this month. But then, of course, in April, we got the Bassmaster Elite coming to Georgetown.
That's right. Going to be in Georgetown. My back, where I love to fish for redfish.
Where you love to fish for redfish. Yeah, now, we redfish there, we tarpon fish there.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Andy Montgomery. I passed Andy. He had been down just riding pretty much. And he was on his way back up to I-26. I passed him as I was heading to Charleston last weekend. And I talked to him. He said, those guys are going to run from Georgetown
to the Cooper
River.
That's right. That's going to be probably 90 to 100 miles one way.
It's about 110 miles. I mapped it out because you come all the way down to Intercoastal, all the way into Charleston Harbor, and then all the way up to Cooper. You know, with no wake zones and stuff like that, you're talking 2 hours.
Yeah, they got two or three wake zones. Got one at Isle of Palms. It's going to be the longest.
One Isle of Palms is the longest.
Got one to Bridge at Sullivan's Island. Yep. And one at tip of Sullivan's Island.
And they got one up there, I forget the little community name, on the Cooper. It's up in the rice fields. You got a little short one there.
Okay.
I've been through it once or twice.
I haven't been that high in a long time. The last one used to be way up next to the railroad trestle, but I mean.
There's one there. Cause we were down there shad fishing last Saturday, and there's one there. That's a heck of a. Now, you guys run a long way red fishing too, though.
We do. I mean, it's not uncommon to go 90, 100 miles. We have gone 140 miles one way. But we only have to have two fish, which sounds easy, but it got to be in that slot. So you'll go 140 miles to catch two the right size. And you just jump back in the boat and run 140 miles back, get fuel twice, and hope nothing tears up.
On the way back in there.
On both ways.
Now, you're not running, when we think of redfish, and most people, like me, think of flats boats, 40 miles an hour, but you're running a Ranger Intercoastal? Did I hear that right?
I'm running a Ranger 520C Intercoastal with a Yamaha 250 show, and we can run fully loaded 72 miles an hour, just going to the current, the chop.
Tell me, all right, what's the difference between your normal Ranger and the Intercoastal model?
Well, in the coaster, you have trim tabs and hydraulic jack plates.
Okay.
comes standard on it, and the deck is a foam deck like C deck
or whatever. Yeah, okay.
It's like that. So you just wash it out. And the wiring's a little better, a little heavier wiring.
Okay.
Ranger puts heavier wiring in, everything's sealed on it.
Okay.
So if you do get salt water, you know, and it's going to get some salt water.
Get some salt water on it.
But this is probably my third or fourth one in a row, and I hadn't had a single problem running it in salt water. I mean, virtually it's the same boat.
Right. Yeah. It's just a little configured, just a little differently.
A little different.
Now, you and Dodd still fishing together?
That's right. We've been fishing together this will be our eighth season starting.
Wow.
Yep. Probably the longest team out there. I don't know how Dodd's put up with me this long.
Or you put up with him either.
Well, that's true.
It's a two-way street.
Two-way street.
Well, you actually had a fairly good year. You won Georgetown last year.
We did. We won Georgetown. And our first event last year, we were second. And so we were leading in the points the last 2 years. I think we've either led or been the top four or five in the points the last couple of years going into the championship.
Well, great. Well, look, we got Glenn on the line. Let's go to an early break. Come back. We'll bring Glenn on and talk about this event you got going on. And, of course, we got a few minutes. We'll go back to red fishing.
Okay.
All right. Y'all hang on through the break. We can talk to Glenn Chapelier with Sportsman's Outreach when we come back.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We've got one Glenn sitting in with us. That's Glenn Finley, who's kind of a fun guy to be around. We think a lot alike, probably have a lot of same interests we talked about. But we're joined by another Glenn. That's Glenn Chapelier. He's going to be coming to Anderson with the FLW tournament, Lake Hartwell, and he's joining us here on the line. Glenn, thank you for making time to be on Woods and Water today.
Hey, glad to be here with you guys.
Very nice. You know, I was talking to the other Glenn here before the show came on, and you're kind of the FLW chaplain, and Chris Wells is kind of the BASS chaplain, and both you guys are from South Carolina.
Yes, I grew up in Greenville and spent most of my teenage years there, and then finished Clemson in 1985, and then went on to seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and came back and served at a church in Easley, South Carolina. So I've been in the area for a long time, and now reside in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, wow, you like living down there?
I do. You just got to know when not to drive. So if I'm leaving Atlanta, I leave early in the morning.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, Sportsman's Outreach is kind of your organization, and you do kind of a Meet the Pros night at each event.
That's correct. When our FLW tour comes to a tournament location, I try to partner with a local church to help them reach outdoorsmen in their community. And so I connected with Glenn Finley, and we're putting together a great program for next Saturday, bringing in some top-name pro fishermen. Several of the guys that are coming are over $1 million winners in their career. One of them is even over $2 million in competitive bass fishing. So we're going to have some great talent there talking about fishing, sharing their faith, and having a great meal at First Baptist Belton.
And you also head up a Bible study at each tournament event?
Yeah, what's unique is the way that we minister out on the tour, usually we have our community outreach event called Meet the Pros Night. And then Sunday morning before our first day of official practice, we have church at the ramp. So we'll be at Green Pond Boat Ramp Sunday the 13th.
Right.
If you want to come to sunrise service, it'll definitely be sunrise.
It will be. And who knows, I might show up there. It'd be kind of neat.
You do, bring some coffee and donuts.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, tell us a little bit more about Sportsman's Outreach before we get to who all is coming to this banquet here in Belton.
Right. My wife and I began Sportsman's Outreach in 1997. God had just put on my heart a burden to reach outdoorsmen. It's just like you learn from Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. God's working all around us, and we have to decide to come join him where he's working. And I'd been a youth minister for 10 years, loved to hunt and fish, and God just began to draw me to start connecting with outdoorsmen, helping churches connect with outdoorsmen through wild game banquets, Meet the Pros Night, fishing seminars, Because when you drive by that boat ramp Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and it's full, you're like, how can I reach these guys with the gospel? And so through Sportsman's Outreach and those kind of outreach events, we're helping churches connect with outdoorsmen.
And normally your outdoorsmen are kind of the salt of the earth people anyway.
That's right. A lot of people in our country, especially in the Southeast, like to hunt and fish. And but sometimes they're scared of the traditional 11 o'clock Sunday morning church, right, suit and tie. And so when they come on your campus and there's bass boats on your campus, there's jacked up trucks and wraps and people wearing camo, and you're like, hey, they're speaking my language.
That's right.
Really, it just helps the church connect with people in their community.
Well, tell us a little more about this event you got coming up at Belton First Baptist. I know Glenn's sitting here, he's got a whole list of things, but you give us your little rundown and we'll let you go, and then Glenn can go into more detail.
Great. Yeah. We're gonna start at 5 o'clock and we're gonna have three different seminars led by several pros. Clark Winlett, who's been 3-time Angler of the Year. He's sponsored by Cabela's. He's from Austin, Texas, incredible outdoorsman, successful fisherman. Mike Sermon also will be doing a fishing seminar. He's from Boca Raton, Florida. He's been on ESPN for years with the fishing show, been a leader in our industry, and so he's going to communicate a lot. And then we've got a local guy from Anderson there who's going to be speaking also. And then after we do the seminars, then we're going to have a great meal.
Okay.
Let me tell you, the food is awesome there. what's really neat is I get to take some home with me after the meal. So that's a good thing. And then probably about 6:45 is when four other fishermen will speak. The first guy, Greg Bohannon, incredible fisherman from Rogers, Arkansas. He runs the Old Spice truck, boat, and wrap.
Okay.
And the next angler is our reigning Angler of the Year, Scott Martin.
Martin.
He hosts the television show, Scott Martin Challenge. Many people know him from his dad, Roland Martin. So
right.
He's won over $2 million fishing. He'll be speaking. Then Bill McDonald from Indiana will be speaking next. He's sponsored by Lucas Oil, a very successful career. Then the last guy up's Mark Rose. He's from Memphis, West Memphis, Arkansas, and he's an incredible fisherman, incredible outdoorsman. And then I'll conclude the program with an encouraging word and how to connect with God.
And this is a family event, correct?
It sure is, and we'll have lots of door prizes, and, you know, when you pull on the church campus, you'll see our trucks and boats there, and
okay,
the latest equipment, latest, you know, tow vehicles. All our trucks and boats are wrapped, so it's really impressive. The kids will like it. They can get in the boat and get their picture made. They can talk to the pro. They can stand there and have autographs and things like that. So it's really a interactive time, and they'll walk away with a tremendous amount of knowledge about fishing.
Right.
Also an opportunity to learn about faith and how outdoorsmen like the guys I just mentioned share their faith. And then we'll have some incredible door prizes for them to win at the end of the program.
And then the food.
That's what I'm saying.
Can't leave that out, boy. That's top of the list almost. What are we going to have to eat? Do you know?
Creekside
Barbecue. I do not know.
Creekside Barbecue.
Creekside Barbecue. I think the speakers probably don't get to eat.
The speakers aren't getting to eat. Glenn.
They're not going to get to eat.
Uh-oh.
I just want the to-go box. Because I'm going to be in Anderson for 7 or 8 more days. And so when you fish from daylight to dark, you ready to eat when the day's over.
Yes, sir. I'm sure I'll find that out firsthand come that tournament. I'll be there as a co-angler for 2 days. So it'll be a new experience for me.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Hartwell's a great place to fish, and it's home for me. And so great fans come out each day for the weigh-in, the blast-off. And so it'll be lots of energy around the lake that day for sure.
That's great. Well, Mr. Chapelier, I appreciate you taking time out to come. I look forward to meeting you. I don't know. My daughter's birthday party is kind of up in the air for that night, so I don't know exactly if I'll get there, but I'll sure to find you sometime during the week. And appreciate you taking time to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
All right. Thanks, David. Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Colin.
Yes, sir. Well, so did he cover it okay?
Yeah, pretty well. We'll make sure everybody remembers the dates, March 12th.
Okay.
And the seminar starts at 5, and the dinner starts at 6. And would like for everybody to have tickets before they come, or at least call and have a name reserved.
Okay.
First Baptist of Belton or Grady's in Anderson. It's got tickets.
Okay.
Just remember that.
Seminar start at 5, dinner at 6.
Yep.
Where is First Baptist Church Belton?
You shouldn't ask me that.
Well, you go there.
I'd go there. I think it's 107 Brown Avenue. Which is Highway 20. It's right in front of the tennis courts, if you've ever been to Belton.
Okay.
There's a bunch of tennis courts. It's right across the street.
Matt Lusk called me this morning. Fat Matt called me this morning wanting to know if I could judge the chili competition down there again this year.
That's always fun.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
That's good chili.
That's fun cooking it. It's fun. That's just a real fun event.
Yeah, it is. Good family event. I took the family down there last year. I'm squeezed. You got the Race Scott Championship on Lake Hartwell that weekend. You got the Bass Elites in Georgetown, and then you got the Chili Cook-Off. I'm trying to – I can't juggle all these events.
That's right.
But I'm going to make all of them if I can. I'm going to try. Especially eat some chili.
Yeah.
That's important. Okay, everybody, that's March 12th. You got that. Be sure to put that on your calendar. It's going to be a great time. These Bass guys, they love to talk. And they love kids. So don't – I know the men out there are going, oh, yeah, I'm going to go meet so-and-so. But don't leave the kids at home.
That's right.
And if you don't have one of your own – Or your kids have friends, bring them too. Because as most organizations are realizing, we're losing that generation. We got to get them back. And these anglers know that for their sport to continue, they got to get the kids involved. And they just, so they take an extra special time and to make those kids feel comfortable and welcome. And, you know, and no question is too dumb.
That's right. It's a lot of fun to take young people out. It's, one of my most enjoyable things to do now is take younger kids out that hadn't fished or was wanting to learn how to fish.
Right.
It's so much fun now. As I've gotten older, I don't compete as much in bass fishing, so I don't feel like I have to catch fish every time I go.
But for a kid, you want them to catch a fish.
That's right.
That's important. That's why you go stock everything in the little pens and let them fish in the pens.
Well, you just have to go for smaller fish or something and make sure they can catch something.
And they don't care about size.
No, they don't care about size. You give them something that can cast a lot and wind in.
Yep.
They love to be doing something.
And a tug on the end of the line.
That's right.
That's all they care about.
That's right.
Well, back to red fishing a little bit. Do you ever just go fishing for fun? I mean, I talked to some of these bass guys and... You know, they're so focused on the tournament side. You know, if they've got kids, yeah, they'd let it go. But most of the time, they're just focused. Is it the same way for you in red fishing?
It is. I don't get to go fishing for fun for redfish very much because, I mean, Charleston, South Carolina's closest thing to me.
Right.
It's just 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's hard just to get up one morning, go fish for fun, come home.
Yeah.
But if we go on vacation down there, of course, anytime I go on vacation, it needs to be close to the water.
Sure, of course. So, my wife is going, yeah, we know that at our house.
So I try to redfish, and we'll try to make at least one trip to Louisiana a year and take some friends and some kids and go down there for redfishing. And that's it's just amazing. You catch 50 to 80 redfish anywhere from 10 to 40 pounds a day.
A day.
A day. And those fish have never seen a human, I don't believe. They would just about eat a raw hook. Now, some days they won't eat anything.
Right.
Most of the days down there, if the wind's not blowing too bad, blows the water off out of the marsh or something, they'll eat.
See, and that's the thing. One of my bucket list things is fly fish, southwest Louisiana, southern Louisiana, back in the marsh. You know, here, and you know how spooky South Carolina fish
that's
are,
right.
Pretty much any coastal fish. I mean, you can... And fly fishing especially, you lay a fly line and the shadow cuts across them and they're gone. And it's almost you have to fool them sneaky-wise to get them to bite.
Yeah, these fish here are too educated.
Yeah, educated.
Redfish, they come in when they get, 32, 34 inches, lay their eggs, and those fish stay in the estuaries till they are around 28 inches.
Yep.
So, you know, those same fish are the same ones you've been fishing for
three or four years.
You know, in Louisiana, of course, it's basically the same thing, but it's so much water, and they'll, if the wind blows, according to what direction, it blows the water back out in the Gulf, all those fish go out.
Yep.
And then when the water comes back, they come back.
Yep.
So you got these fish just moving all the time, migrating around. I mean, you may go 1 week or two, and these fish, everywhere you go, and you go to that same area 2 weeks later, not a fish.
Yeah.
Because they all migrate.
Yeah.
So those you have fish literally I don't think that's ever seen a human there.
Well, I see all these videos of guys down there fly fishing, and the redfish are they're fishing topwater flies,
mm-hmm.
and the redfish are submarining behind the fly right. and taking it off the top, and that's right. just so foreign to what I do
oh, yeah.
around here.
Yeah, you try to find real clear water down there, which is tough.
Yeah.
Because it's so shallow and so muddy.
Yeah.
You want to try to get way back, try to find real clear water so you can see them. It doesn't really bother me not to see them because I've bass fished all my life.
Yeah, and I'd see the fish to catch them.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But most of those guys, they do. And I'm learning a little more about that every time I go. But the trick is when you can see them, you pick out which fish you want. And when you don't see them, you just blind cast. You may catch an oversized fish all day or two shorter fish.
Yeah, yeah. Got a couple of minutes left. What are your plans for this season?
Well, we got Georgetown, South Carolina in April 30th.
Okay.
And then back in September, we'll be back down there. And we probably going to fish a couple down Louisiana Division. May fish a couple of the Lucas Oil Opens. One's going to be in Panama City this year.
Okay.
And one in Houma, Louisiana.
Okay.
And that's about it, which that's pretty cool, try to work for a living and fish too, But it's all piled together because our season doesn't get started till kind of late, like bass, start in February. We really get started, like I say, April 30th,
right.
I think, is our first. So,
okay.
And then it's over in October. So
okay.
It's kind of all piled up together late spring and then early fall.
Pretty much the same. We got about a minute left, so I'll pack this in. Pretty much the same schedule. I mean, you go down, you have a few days to fish beforehand. That's your practice? Or do you go before you go somewhere, you go a couple of weeks, month beforehand?
Most of the time I don't. It's just too hard to get off 2 weeks okay. in a row or partial 2 weeks in a row. We try to have at least three full days.
Okay.
And normally, if you can't figure it out in three full days, you're not going to figure it out in the next few days. So... I think that's why the FLW and bass, everybody's kind of done that same thing.
Okay.
We figured that out 7 or 8 years ago when we was doing this 5 or 6 days. Sometimes you just get too much water, too much in your head, and it screws you up. But most of the time, if you don't figure it out in 3 days, you're not going to figure it out.
I hear you. All right, March 12th, Meet the Pros. Glenn, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate you inviting.
We catch up a little bit as red fishing season gets going.
That sounds good.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Welcome back to Woods and Water. I had to laugh. And Glenn's sitting here right across the desk from me, and I ended it like I was talking to him on the phone. Oh, gosh. Oh, me. Anyway, they want to mention, that's Brian Latimer. The local pro that's going to be there speaking is local guy Brian Latimer, who fishes the FLW. He's going to be one of the speakers there, and they wanted me to let you know that. But that's March 12th. Yeah, I hope you'll be there. And we're going to talk to Don Artman. They've got a thing going on at Grady's on March 12th, too. So between now and then, just a few random things to kind of get out of the way here. Hope you enjoyed last week's show. Appreciate Ben Lancaster stepping in for me. He was excited about that show. He is a turkey hunter, and I'm not. And so it worked out well. He said he wanted to do a few shows with me this year, and I said, well, all right. You plan a turkey show, and it is all yours. And that allowed me to do a couple of things. I got down to the Shallow Water Expo in Charleston, which for a first-year event was really good. I think everybody would like to see it expanded next year, and they probably will, depending on how this year was. I met Bob Clouser. Great guy. You may have heard the conversation I had with him a couple of weeks ago. He's just as nice in person as he was on the phone. Let's see, who else was there? Anyway, it was just a good thing. It helped the Omar Shrine Temple. If you didn't make it, there's some pictures up on the Woods and Water Facebook page. You can go look. Like I said, first year, probably trying to figure out if it was going to work, how many people come out. But we were there early Saturday morning, and the turnout was good. I think I talked to both Mike Abel, Senior, I guess, and then Mike Junior, and both of them were were pleased with the turnout that early on Saturday morning. Then I got to take a good friend of mine, shad fishing, up on the Cooper. He lives in Charleston, never been shad fishing, so I got a chance to go up there, and he caught his first shad was a double. Shad, for those of you who don't know, they migrate out of the ocean every spring. They go up the rivers, and in on the Cooper, of course, when they get to Pinopolis there in Monk's Corner, can't go any further. And those fish are going up there to die, and at least I think they go up there to die. I think I'm right on that. But anyway, they go up there and get trapped behind the dam, and they just kind of mill around in the current. And it is some current, especially when they're releasing water. They weren't releasing it too hard. There was still current, but not bad. But anyway, you fish them on a tandem jig rig, like 1/8 ounce chartreuse jigs, about 16 inches apart with chartreuse curly tail grubs. I mean, that is, if it weren't for minnows and worms, it would be the most simple fishing you've ever done, because you really don't even have to cast and reel. I mean, you cast it out there, and some of the ones we caught, you know, we were just sitting there, you know, rod and rod holder almost. But his first shad was a double. He had two shad on at the same time, and we're talking, these fish are probably 3 pounds, and in the current, they fight anyway because they're used to that current, and in that current with two on, it was fun. It took a couple of minutes. But anyway, got that. So I appreciate Ben coming in. Hope you had a good time listening to Ben and learning about turkey hunting. I actually have my turkey tags for whatever it's worth. Who knows if I'll even use them again this year, but I got them. And, you know, stranger things have happened. So who knows? Don't forget, you need your turkey tags. I think Ben said that last week. Even if you're taking one on a youth day, or if you're taking a youth with you, you still need tags, your own tags. If you like to trout fish, and it's about that time of year to, you know, February, the water is really cold. I mean, I've stood in rivers trout fishing in February, and, you know, numb below the knee, and you can feel fire above the knee. It's not a fun feeling, but it's getting in. If you're in, you know, South Carolina stocks and North Carolina stocks, and North Carolina, my goodness, in the delayed harvest section of the Tuckasegee River, on March 2nd, they stocked 10,000 fish, brook, rainbows, and browns. So including last October, November, stocking and catch and release regulations, there are 30,000 trout waiting for you in the Tuckasegee River. Now, don't everybody rush up there at once, because the Tuck's not big enough for everybody, but it's a great fishery. It's a great place to go. A buddy of mine's been after me now for a couple of weeks. We got to go to the Tuck. We got to go fish the Tuck. I want to go back to the Tuck, so we're going to be up there shortly, and with 30,000 fish laying up there ready for us, you know, it ought to be fun. And watch us not go over there and catch a thing. Let's see. I got a few more. There's a few more, I guess, calendar events things in there. And I have people ask me all the time about wild game suppers. Well, get ready, because there's a bunch of them coming. On March the 11th, there's a wild game supper at Red Hill Baptist Church in Pickens. It's the 4th annual Wild Game Supper, 558 Red Hill Road, Pickens, South Carolina. Vendors, door prizes, great food, and Christian fellowship. Dr. Stuart Holson's Houston is going to be the guest speaker. So you can do, you know, Pickens on Friday night and Belton on Saturday night. The Ashley River, there's an organization called the Ashley River Cleanup, sponsored by the Somerville Saltwater Anglers. They're having a cleanup on March the 12th, which is next Saturday, from 10 to 3. They're going to leave out of Jensen Landing, which is at the corner of Dorchester and Ladson Roads, behind the SCFCU Bank. What you need to bring, your boat if possible. The more boats we have, the more trash we can collect. John boats are perfect. Make sure you have all the DNR safety gear, including life jackets. Dress to get dirty. Tools to grab floating trash. A long pole with a net or a hook or something on the end is perfect. Bags and pickers will be provided. Tentative schedule, 10 a.m. launch. They're going to have coffee and donuts. 10:30 captain's meeting. 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock is a trash pickup. And 2 to 3, they're going to have a cookout. For those of you who show up, if you don't know about the Ashley, it's one of the most underdeveloped and one of the most beautiful places and historic places in the greater Charleston area. And if you're from this area, you've heard it referred to as the Trashley. We used to not think there were any redfish in the Trashley, but after a few years, we found them. There's a couple really good flats on the Ashley, actually. And, you know, for those of you who just heard that, forget about it. The Ashley River has no redfish. I'm sorry I even said that. But up around the plantations, I went up there gator hunting a couple of years ago. It's absolutely gorgeous back up the Ashley River. Last March, they removed 3.5 tons of trash in 2.5 hours. So if you need more information, you can look it up, Ashley River Cleanup. It's hosted by the Somerville Saltwater Anglers. And there's lots of this going on. I'm going to try to get to as many of these volunteer things as I can this year because there's a lot of it going on. The Upper Palmetto Chapter of Hunters Helping Kids is having a banquet on March 12th. $20 a ticket. This is in, I guess this is York, South Carolina. First Wesleyan Church on York Highway. Doors open at 5 o'clock. So if you're over in that section of South Carolina, it's for kids in our community to go hunting, fishing, and camping in the great outdoors. $20 tickets includes barbecue and door prizes, auctions, and raffles for guns, hunting, fishing, and camping equipment. That's the Upper Palmetto Chapter of Hunters Helping Kids, Incorporated. This was a pretty cool one. National Natural Resource Discovery Day. It's the Savannah National Wildlife Refuge. It's a free day. It's in conjunction with the National Wild Turkey Federation. It's 694 Beach Hill Lane in Hardeeville, South Carolina. You can I found more information at National Wild Turkey Federation, or you can go to the Savannah National Wildlife Refuge page, and they've got more information there, too. But from what I read on this one, they're going to have lots of information about turkeys, even releasing some tag birds, and said you could even help them tag some birds. And I dug up some more information on the National Wildlife Refuge, and there's a lot of stuff. And that's another one that I bookmarked in my computer to go back to, because they've got a lot of things going on this summer, too. But that's down in Hardeeville, South Carolina, March the 12th, National Wild Turkey Federation and the National Wildlife Refuge are putting that on. It's free. Edisto Island Ducks Unlimited Banquet, like I said, next Saturday is going to be a day of food around South Carolina. Saturday, March 12th, 6 to 10, the Bay Creek Park next to Edisto Marine on Edisto Island. It's the DU Banquet. And I'm sure, let me read here just a second, Matt. They don't have it down here. I'm sure there's going to be some oysters involved in this somewhere. But $40 single, $70 couple. You can find more information at Ducks Unlimited. Just go and type in the local events in your state, and you can find them. They're all over South Carolina this year. Let's see. That's that one. And then there's another Wild Game Supper. Sandy Run, South Carolina, down below Columbia. The third annual Wild Game Supper event begins at 4:30 p.m., supper at 6:30. That's the Blue One United Methodist Church, 1577 Old State Road, Sandy Run. So if you can't find somewhere to go next Saturday night for wild game or outdoor activities, then call me. I'll find something for you. Hang on through the break. We're going to have Don Artman, who is actually already on the line. If he'll hang on for a few minutes, we'll be back. We're going to talk about what's going on down at Grady's Great Outdoors next Saturday. So hang on. We'll be back on the other side with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hit it!
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hopefully my voice is going to hold out for the last few minutes. Yeah, it was cold in Charleston. I was out there on the water, and I did have a coat on, but it got me. And, you know, it's that time of the year for these spring colds in South Carolina. But we've got a good friend of ours, Don Artman from the Fishing Shop at Grady's, on the phone. How are you, Don?
Doing wonderful, Roger, yourself.
I'm doing great. How are things down there? I see y'all got high seas fluorocarbon in.
Yeah, we did. I'm excited about that. Casey was several of the guys, the local guys and pros, have been asking me to get it in, and we've finally been able to put the deal together. And man, it's some good looking stuff. Not only do we have the fluorocarbon, but we also have the fluorocarbon coated and their copolymer, which is some great stuff and really good prices.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there. Tell me, and I know of anybody I could ask, you'll know this question. Give me the difference between fluorocarbon, the copolymer, and the coated lines.
A copolymer is a blend of a couple different type of materials, and it's got a little bit more stretch, and it's a little bit more pliable, easier to cast.
Okay.
The fluorocarbon coated is like a monofilament, but it's actually dipped in fluorocarbon, so it reacts a lot like fluorocarbon as far as the sensitivity.
Okay.
And then, but you have a lot easier to cast, especially on the spinning reel. If you put it on a spinning reel, and then of course the fluorocarbon, there again is it's basically invisible underwater, and it actually sinks. So if you were using like a topwater lure, you wouldn't want to use fluorocarbon coated or fluorocarbon line itself, because it has a tendency to sink, and it won't make your bait work well. That's why you use either braid or monofilament if it's on topwater.
Something's going to float, or come to near floating line as you can.
Yeah, and yeah. They get something that'll get up there on top, and it just makes the bait react a whole lot better.
Well, y'all have got something coming up on March 12th. I guess we got your thing going on there during the day, and then you're going to swing over because Grady's is sponsoring the Meet the Pros event. You got a pretty good.
We're one of the people that's actually coming over to and taking part in that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great day.
It's going to be a great day altogether. But now y'all have got a name coming to your store that a lot of people will recognize. I'll let you tell us all about it.
Yeah. David Fritz is actually going to be coming to Grady's. And David is a super guy and probably one of the best crankbait fishermen in the world. And also, he's one of only three or four people that have won both the Forestdale Wood Cup and the Bassmaster Classic. And so, but David's coming in, and he's a big sponsor with Lou's, and has helped them design a lot of rods. And we're going to have a casting challenge over here next Saturday. David's going to be here probably around noon, and he's going to be here until.
And what kind of casting challenge? Is this a flipping and pitching thing?
No, what it is, well, whoever can cast the furthest, we're going to have two rod and reel combos up, identical rod and reel combos set up. And if you can come over here and cast the longest distance, whoever casts the longest distance is going to win a $269 lose combo. It's a BB1Z plus a David Frisch Palmer rod, and that's a sweet combo. Well, yeah, I got a picture of it up on our Grady's Facebook page, which is the Fishing Shop at Grady's Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here.
It's going to be a fun deal. I've used a lot of different kind of rod and reels, throughout the years, and I'm telling you, I picked up a couple lose last year, and they throw as far as I want to throw them. Sometimes it's just amazing how far they'll throw. So that's what we're going to do, is get a lot. There's absolutely no charge to do this. It's free to anybody who wants to participate. They can come down here, spend some time with one of the best FLWBASS pros that's out there, one of the best crankbait guys there is. So it's going to be a lot of fun here at the store.
And that's crankbait. And I remember when I was fishing in the 80s and mid-90s, doing a lot of bass fishing. You know, you had the old flat side Lou's reels that were pretty much his creation almost, wasn't it?
I mean, the original Lou's speed spool.
Yeah. And he was the guy he was the crankbait king. I mean, some of the other guys threw him every once in a while, but nobody was as dedicated to a crankbait as David Fritz.
And nobody catches many fish on a crankbait as David Fritz. Yeah. He's awesome. And the nicest guy you ever want to meet. And I'm excited about having him here. We've been working on this since the ICAST show back in July when I first talked to David about coming to the store and helping us out.
I was down there at the fishing shop, as I've become kind of accustomed to doing when I'm in Anderson. And I asked you about the Lou's, I can't remember, the PS1s.
That's my next present to myself.
Well, you didn't just explain it to me. I asked you about, instant anti reverse and that graduated anti reverse that they've got on that thing. And you told me, you said, hold this thing. And you went out, he said, it'll make you a better crankbait fisherman because of this. You started pulling on that line, and I could feel it in the reel.
Yeah, you will feel the strike in the handle before you feel it in the rod. And David actually helped design that reel. with a multi-clutch stop system on it, where most bait cast reels, when you turn on the handle and turn on the handle, it stops and it won't go anywhere backwards.
That's right.
This actually reverses, and the spool actually reverses. So when something just breathes on it or just hits on it, you can actually feel it in the handle. And David Fritz told me personally, he said, Don, it'll make you a better crankbait and a spinnerbait fisherman. Just this reel, not a rod, not a lure. This reel will make you a better fisherman.
And that's what you told me.
And, hey, I can use all the help I can get.
But it was. I almost dropped the reel because you were tugging on it, and the handle was turning in my hand, and I almost dropped it right there in the store.
I mean, it's amazing. I've shown one. I've shown hundreds of people how that. In fact, I had a customer come in, and he said, I ain't going to buy that reel. It's broke. I said, let me show you how this let me show you about this reel. And a good friend and customer, Grady, his name Richard, he comes in, and I said, I did exactly what I did with you.
Yeah.
And I showed him what the actual reel was. He said, man, you're the first person who's ever explained. He said, I'll own three of these.
Yeah.
So it's a great, great product. Plus, two, the PS1 has a multi-clutch stop system. Not only that, but it has centrifugal drag that doesn't have any magnets. So it is amazing how far you can cast this with this reel.
Oh, boy. But you're always a wealth of knowledge, Don. I love coming in there, and you'd be proud of me because I tied one of those fluoro to braid, and it's not even really a knot. I don't know how you explain it, but it's you just wrap that fluoro one way, you turn around and wrap it the other way, you wet it and pull it tight, and you've got almost like a seamless connection. And I never thought about it as much until you start looking at these micro guide rods.
Yeah.
Where a traditional...
It'll shoot right up through a micro guide. Yes, it will.
Yeah. Whereas a traditional blood knot or uni or whatever, you would hit those guides on one side or the other. But this thing is so smooth, I can't imagine you ever feel it coming through.
The best way I've described it is almost like turning the fluorocarbon, bending the fluorocarbon in half, and creating a Chinese handcuff around the outside of the fluorocarbon in the braid actually takes all the abrasion when it goes up through the guides, and it won't wear your line out.
Amazing.
I've entertained how many hundred people I've talked about that not too. So it's a lot of fun. It's all about catching fish and customer service and taking care of customers when they come through the door, teaching them something new and helping them catch more fish. That's my goal.
Well, good, because I'm going to be down there next Saturday morning, and I'm going to need some help.
Hey, man, I understand you might be out there in the boat a week after next.
Oh, man.
Out there competing against the big boys.
That's a nasty rumor out there. I'm trying to squash it, but it looks like it's going to happen.
Well, you know, you come down here, we'll do everything we can to help it, because at Grady's, I tell you what, I mean, it's we practice what we preach, and it's all about helping customers and making your experience in the great outdoors a whole lot better.
Well, like I said, next Saturday, David Fritz at Grady's Great Outdoors in Anderson. Free. Come on by. See how far you can throw we're throwing a casting plug.
Yep. We're going to actually have a weight that's on there that's going to be able to throw at distance. And we might even fire the big green egg up and cook some chicken legs and some pizza. You never know.
Now you're just being mean. Well, Donald, look forward to seeing you next Saturday morning.
I appreciate it.
And
I appreciate you letting us call anytime, man. I tell you what, at Grady's, we're as close as the telephone, and just come on by. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 8:00. We're always closed on Sunday, and this year we're celebrating our 55th year anniversary.
Amazing. Amazing. I'll see you next Saturday, Don.
Robbie, come by and see you, buddy.
All right.
You guys have a great day, and thanks again for having us on.
Yes, sir. Anytime, Don.
You know it.
All right. Well, there you go. You got a full day next Saturday. Yeah, the rumor is true. I'm still waiting on my jersey to come in. I actually, you know, if you're going to do this, you might as well do it right, right? Don't do anything halfway. So, yeah, I've got a jersey. I haven't got it yet. I've got a proof of it. It's going to look pretty good, I think. And, oh, man, I just every once in a while I open my mouth just one too many times. But it's going to be fun. I'm taking a lot of grief from a lot of people. I've actually gotten 3 texts while I'm sitting here today. People talking about this. Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. But anyway, got a big day coming up on the 12th. Don't forget, got the FLW coming up the next weekend. Let me see. Oh, want to say congratulations to the Chesney Eagles High School Fishing Club. They won the 2016 South Carolina Early Bird Open. That was a few weeks ago. I was there. They were the first to cross the stage with 17 pounds. They led it the whole way in. So congratulations to Zach Roberts and Chase Botts from Chesney Eagle Fishing Club. He said he threw a Berkeley number 7 bad shad all day, and that was Botts. He's a junior. Roberts is a senior using Alabama rig and said he also slow rolled all day long. He said, I think we caught 7 largemouths and 9 or 10 stripers. So congratulations to them. I know I've got some friends who are Chesney High School alums out there. And hopefully we're going to have these kids on. The schedule's so full in the show that I haven't been able to schedule them on, but I've been in contact with their coach, and we're going to get them on because, you know, high school kids, man, they just want to get their line wet. It's funny. And had a really good time. Went to the registration out there with the Bass Federation high school angler guys. Congratulations to them. Neil Paul down at Visit Anderson put the whole thing together for them, so it's good. I want to end the show. We lost Pat Conroy this morning, a great writer from here that called South Carolina home, and I wanted to end the show with this. To describe our growing up in the Lowcountry of South Carolina, I would have to take you to the marsh on a spring day, flush the great blue heron from its silent occupation, scatter marsh hens as we sink to our knees in mud, open you an oyster with a pocket knife and feed it to you from the shell, and say, there, that taste, that's the taste of my childhood. I would say breathe deeply, and you would breathe and remember that smell for the rest of your life, the bold, fecund aroma of the tidal marsh. So, fair winds and fallen seas, Pat Conroy. Hey, I've had a great time today. Hope you have, too. Tune in next week, and like always, take the back roads when you can make time to get out there. And be careful. I'll see you next week.